Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Today is Monday, January 15th, 2024. I'm Steven Jensen. Hope you had a great week and a great weekend. And I am off work today because it is MLK Day. So, obviously, Martin Luther King, one of the most important people in the history of existence, in my opinion. And I do live in Atlanta, Georgia. I grew up in Atlanta. MLK, born in Atlanta, passed away in Memphis. I have a lot of ties to Tennessee as well. Living in Nashville, although Nashville and Memphis aren't super close, but there's a lot of like overlap there. So I guess my point being, I've always been surrounded by, you know, the thoughts and like the memories of Martin Luther King Jr., especially the places I've lived. And I know that that extends across the entire world, of course, because his impact in the world was massive. I mean, like I said, this is not an understatement. He is one of the most important people to ever exist, in my opinion. And when I know Atlanta, here in Atlanta, it's super, super cold outside, but there's people outside, they're celebrating MLK. I know the Performing Arts Center up the street is doing a lot of stuff. Like they're doing some shows and some sort of like parades and stuff like that. I just know the weather's like really bad right now. I know Tennessee's getting snow and stuff like that, but just want everyone out there to stay safe. I know the weather's rough right now. And also, once again, just Martin Luther King Day. Everyone out there, do your research, and if you're somehow not already educated on the topic somehow, please do your research and understand how massively important Martin Luther King Jr. is to the world, just in general. Also, I want to give my thoughts out there and memories to Shad Gaspard. Shad passed away a few years ago, and his birthday was the other day, so I wanted to say, you know, happy birthday. You know, happy birthday to Shad. And for those of you who don't know the things that happened with Shad at the end of his life, just absolute hero. He literally saved lives and gave up his own. And I have so much respect for Shad Gaspard. The word hero gets gets kind of loosely thrown around a little bit in the world, you know, and I think Shad Gaspard and MLK, those are two legitimate heroes. Like that, they personify that word. MLK, of course, changing the world forever for the better, for equal rights. And you have Shad Gaspard, who, I mean, the definition of a hero in a lot of ways, right? Like being so selfless that you gave up your own life to save others. So just wanted to start off today's show, you know, paying a little tribute to two legitimate heroes in MLK and Shad Gaspard here on today's show. So that all said, hope everyone once again had a great week and a great weekend. Got a lot to talk about on today's show. A lot of wrestling this weekend. So let's go through the topics and jump into it. On this edition of the Weekender, we have results for GCW No Compadre and 56 Birds. So we had two Game Changer wrestling shows. We'll give the results for today. Also have results for Glory Pro Ascend Episode 19, TWE Barbed Wire Baptism, Freelance Wrestling's Rhapsody. I got TNA TV taping spoilers from TNA Snake Eyes. Joel Pearl was on location, and I'll talk more about TNA here in a moment. We have results for NXT Level Up, episode 100, so historic episode for Level Up this week. We have results for NWA Power, and I'll wrap up today's episode with ROH TV taping spoilers. So a good mixture today of results and spoilers. As I mentioned, results for Game Changer Wrestling, Glory Pro, TWE, Freelance, NXT Level Up, and NWA Power. And then we will have spoilers for TNA and Ring of Honor. I'll make sure to timestamp all the spoilers, so if you want to remain spoiler-free, you can do so. You can skip around. And before I get started on the topics, I just want to remind you that you can all check out the Fightful post-show for TNA Hard to Kill. It's on the main YouTube channel, so youtube.com/Fightful. It's myself, Joel Pearl, and Cresta Star. We reviewed Impact's... I have to keep going back and forth. I said this on the post show. I just got used to calling it Impact after all these years, and I got to go back to calling it TNA. But I like TNA better. But that all said, TNA, Hard to Kill. We reviewed the show right after it was live. And Sean Ross Sapp actually joined us at the top of the show, too. And Sean had some updates on like contracts and some news and stuff like that. So Joel being on location in Las Vegas was really cool. So he got some news there. Sean got some news, as Sean always does, being who Sean is. So we got news at the top of the show for you guys, some analysis from Sean, and then, you know, me, Joel, and Cresta reviewed the rest of the show. Joel had some internet problems, but he was able to be there the majority of the show. And I know what that's like. I've had to try to do shows while traveling or in a hotel room, and being in Las Vegas is going to be really difficult because of the, you know, the sheer volume of people that are in that area. And yeah, so I totally understand. I've tried doing shows for the Spotlight in like North Carolina out of casinos that are way less busy than what you'd have in North Carolina. And even then it can be difficult. You can do all the preparation in the world and your internet could work great out of the Wi-Fi of the room and everything. And then sure enough, the moment you need to go live and actually need the internet to do anything, like I could sit there and play my Nintendo Switch off the Wi-Fi in a hotel room, no problem. Go online, play Mario Kart online for hours, right? Like no problem. And then it'll be like, okay, time to stream live for Fightful, and you turn the thing on, and all of a sudden the internet doesn't work right. So all of a sudden you got to go to your hotspot on your phone if you got one. Luckily I've got one. It usually works pretty well, and I know Joel was trying to do the same. So I totally get it. But anyway, it's one of those things where I think the post show was really, really good. And I think that if you want to know more about TNA's Hard to Kill, that'd be the place to get my thoughts on that. I'll give you some thoughts, of course, during the TV taping spoiler results. But if you want full analysis on everything TNA Hard to Kill, including the debut of Nick Nemeth, I mean, it's gonna be hard for me to get used to saying that after calling him Dolph Ziggler for so long, Nick Nemeth. So good seeing him in TNA, but if you want more thoughts on that, once again, check out the post-show review. All right, let's get started on the topics for today. First topic is going to be results. For Game Changer Wrestling, they had two shows this weekend. First one was No Compadre. This took place out of Chicago, Illinois, and this was on the 12th. So this was, I believe, Friday night. I always get my days mixed up whenever there's like a stacked weekend of wrestling. So yeah, this was on Friday. So this was the Friday show, and then we had the Saturday show for GCW, which ran at the same time as Hard to Kill. There was so much going on Saturday. There was GCW, TNA, I think TWE was running at the same time, AEW Collision, UFC. I mean, there was so much. Freelance, I think, was that night also. Just started like an hour later. There was so much going on. But I love weekends like that. But that said, that's why some of my days and timelines get a little screwed up on reviews like this when I've watched like 10 wrestling shows over the span of, you know, 3 days or whatever. So the first one, once again, GCW No Compadre. And this was on Friday night. You can watch this live on, or you could have watched it live, but you can also watch the replay over on Triller Plus, aka Fight Plus. They've rebranded Triller TV or Triller TV Plus. But jump over there. I'm not endorsed to tell you guys to sign up. I just think it's a great, great deal, because even for no other reason, you would get both of these GCW shows that I'm going to cover right now. You can watch the whole things. You can watch them live. You can watch them right now. So these are the results for GCW No Compadre. We had Violence is Forever, Dominic Greene and Kevin Koo defend and retain the GCW Tag Team titles over Bang and Matthews, the team of August Matthews and Davey Bang, the former Bang Bros. The finish of this one was Kevin Koo going to the top rope and hitting a El Generico-style brainbuster on the top turnbuckle to the head of August Matthews. And then they follow up with the double team chasing the dragon, pin Matthews 1-2-3. Violence is Forever continues, in my opinion, to be probably the best unsigned tag team in the world, and maybe just the best tag team in the world in general. Yeah, I said it. We had a six-man tag team match next. Six-person tag team match, I should say. Where we had SG Bussy, a team of Manders, Alley Catch, and Effie, over Team Broski, the team of Broski Jimmy, a.k.a. Jimmy Lloyd, Steph DeLander, and because Matt Cardona couldn't make the show because of travel issues, we had Boom Boom Colt Cabana. So Boom Boom making a big GCW return, and of course he is a legend out of Chicago where the show took place, so big reaction to Boom Boom. And we had Broski Jimmy and SDL all dressed up in Colt Cabana, like singlet Boom Boom type gear, so this was a good replacement. There was a lot of people throughout the whole weekend. I won't be able to mention each one, but There was all throughout all the shows, because of this bad weather, because of how cold it's been, because of the snow, just inclement weather. There's a lot of people who couldn't make shows over the weekend. So there was a lot of scrambling and putting stuff together. And Colt Cabana coming in was one of those things, but it worked out really well. The finish of this match was Effie hitting a Sack Rider on Jimmy Lloyd for the 1-2-3. After that, we had Joe Janela over Myron Reed. Janela gets the win with a package pile driver for the 3 count. Big weekend for Myron Reed in GCW. We'll talk about him a little bit more on the net with his next match. But I've always been a big fan of Myron. I've talked about it before on the show, but when I lived in Nashville, like a handful, I lived there until about 2000, right around 2020, right around the pandemic. I lived there for about a decade. For all intents and purposes, pretty much between my living in Atlanta, but I also did live in Florida for a little bit too. That's like kind of like a side mission. But for the most part, the last decade, I had spent in Nashville. And when I lived there, I would drive from Nashville to St. Louis for Glory Pro Wrestling shows when that company was new. And because it was like a, it's still a long drive. I think it was like 5 hours each way, maybe something like that. But I had a roommate who was really into wrestling too, so it was easy trips. We would just take turns driving. But that's not the point. The point is when I would go up there, Myron Reed was the first Glory Pro champion that I had seen in that company. And he'd actually won the title by mistake. This is years ago. He was like pretty much brand new to wrestling. And something went wrong where he accidentally won the title. Like the count got messed up by the referee. And so he just had like the company on his back out of nowhere. And he really thrived. And I really loved his work even back then. And then, he linked up with the Rascals. For people who don't know, he's the fourth Rascal. Like a lot of people just kind of give credit to the group as Dez, Trey, and Wentz, because that's who you see as the Rascals, like who you'd seen on Impact together. You've seen a combination of them and stuff in NXT, but Myron Reed was doing his own thing in MLW and kind of around the indies. But y'all got to keep your eyes on Hot Fire. I'll say Hot Fire Myron Reed, aka Young Goat Myron Reed. But super, super talented, and it's just a matter of time before he really blows up. So he had another big match on the next show, but Joe Janela gets the big win here over Myron. Janela, of course, a staple of GCW, one of probably the most consistent quote unquote big name that GCW has, if that makes sense. Like Janela is always going to be that guy when like a big name comes in, or like you like a Kerry Moore or a when like Ricky Morton wanted to wrestle a singles match in GCW, it was like Ricky Morton Janela. When X-Pac, same kind of thing, and then to really anyone who comes in, Joey Janela is just gonna be, he's like, I'd say he's the most well-established person on the GCW roster outside of like Nick Gage, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? And Janela wrestles consistently. Nick Gage only wrestles occasionally at this point. So Janela gets a package power driver win over Myron Reed. After that, we had the Bullet Club War Dogs, the team of Alex Coughlin and Gabe Kidd, over Los Macisos, the team of Ciclope and Mato Extremo. Big win for Bullet Club War Dogs, getting the win over the former 3-time GCW Tag Team Champs. The finish here was a double team spike pile driver by the War Dogs onto Ciclope, onto chairs for the 3 count. After that, we had Nick Wayne over Leo Rush. I believe Nick Wayne was another surprise because of travel. I can't remember who Leo was originally supposed to wrestle. I think it was supposed to be Leo Rush versus Jonathan Gresham, maybe, and Gresham couldn't make the show. I think that's what happened. But nonetheless, Nick Wayne, obviously, I'm a huge fan of his, and he is a, I mean, for people who might just know him from AEW recently, like Nick Wayne really established himself as a top indie name over the last few years in GCW as a singles guy, but even more specifically as a part of East West Express with Jordan Oliver. So Nick Wayne's always going to be welcome in GCW, and he's going to be a part of the Jersey J Cup coming up next month too, which is obviously like the brother, sister, whatever you want to call it, promotion of GCW. So they're basically all one and the same. So Nick Wayne over Leo Rush here. The finish was a super kick into Wayne's World, his version of the Clout Cutter for the 1-2-3. After that, we had a six-person tag team match where Los Desperados, the team of Arez, Demonic Flamita, and Latigo, defeated the other Lucha team, which was Aramis, Cole Radrick, and One El Bandido. Excuse me. Cole Radrick, I think Cole was scheduled for a different match also, and he got thrown into this, I think. I could be wrong, but I know there was a lot of changing up of the... a lot of reshuffling of these cards, once again, because of the travel issues. But the finish of this one was... I don't even know how to describe this, right? Like, I wrote down a triple team. It was kind of like... back when... it was kind of similar to the Spirit Squad. Two of the members... basically threw... I think it was Bandido, up into the air. And then... Flamita jumped off the top rope kind of all at the same time and did a splash off the top. So it was like this triple team, like cheerleader throw with a splash by Flamita for the three count. After that, we had the GCW world title on the line. Blake Christian, along with Shane Mercer, defends and retains his title over Calvin Tankman. The finish of this one was super impressive, but it had nothing to do with Blake Christian, unfortunately for Blake, but well, actually fortunately, cause he's a heel and that's the whole point of this, of course, but Shane Mercer gets in the ring and hits a moonsault and battery onto Calvin Tankman. So for those of you who may be new to the show, maybe new to the indies, Shane Mercer's moonsault and battery, he goes up to the second rope and does a moonsault while holding his opponent. So he has him in like a fallaway slam position, like a world's strongest slam type position, and does a moonsault with that person's body off the second rope. Calvin Tankman is humongous, so, like, this was ultra-impressive to see. But that said, once again, Shane Mercer came in, hit the moonsault and battery onto Calvin Tankman, and then Blake Christian just pinned Tankman for the three count. So Blake retains, but once again, very on-brand for the heel Blake Christian world champion character. He's always getting wins, either because of other people, now Mercer being his bodyguard, who he's paying for his services, or, you know, most of the time he just hits you in the nuts and then curb stomps you, so... but there you go. That's Blake Christian, heel champion. That's exactly what he's going for. Retains over Calvin Tankman. After that, Shane Mercer wins the next match. He stays in the ring. And we have a seven-way scramble match where Shane Mercer defeats Alec Price, Braden Toon, Josh Bishop, Golden Dragon, Perro, and Microman. Microman went viral for a few of the spots in this match. Shane Mercer gets the win here after hitting a moonsault and battery onto Braden Toon, which also is impressive. Braden, not quite as large as Tankman, but Braden is still a big boy himself. Braden, super impressive. I've been talking about him every week for a while now, along with a lot of these guys. We're always talking Alec Price, Josh Bishop, but I'm really, really high on Braden Toon, but Shane Mercer, really impressive. Again, I mean, back-to-back matches, he does a moonsault and battery to Tankman and then Braden Toon. So you can tell that something's going to happen there. Either eventually there will be some sort of turn, probably, where Mercer will get a shot at Blake for this title. You have to imagine. But I'm interested to see this whole thing play out. They're making Mercer look like a completely unstoppable animal right now, which is good. I mean, Mercer should be treated like that, in my opinion. After that, we have the GCW Ultraviolent Championship on the line. Rina Yamashita defends and retains over John Wayne Murdoch. Yamashita gets the win after hitting a splash mountain through a door bridge for the 1-2-3. And that match was like a year in the making. That was the finals of last year's... I think it was the finals of... It was the finals of TOS, I think. Because it wasn't the NGI. I'm pretty sure it was the finals of TOS last year. But either way, Yamashita with another big win over JWM. Once again, Splash Mountain through a door for the three count. After that, we had Dan the Dad versus Mance Warner. This match gets thrown out after Effie comes out to save Dan the Dad and causes a no contest. But... Dan the Dad, I'll talk more about Dan the Dad here in a second. And just for what it's worth, he, behind the scenes, he runs Glory Pro. And I was just talking about Glory Pro and how I go to their shows. We're going to cover Glory Pro Ascend here in just a moment. So I'll talk more about Dan a little bit. But there, once again, this is continuing to build for Effie versus Mance Warner, which I'll talk a little bit more about here because there is some big stuff from the next show on that. The main event had everyone talking. We had Mustafa Ali making his GCW debut, defeating Gringo Loco. Awesome match. Awesome entrance for Mustafa. It was really cool because, you know, GCW, there are certain times where GCW gets a ton of attention. And, you know, around the Hammerstein show a couple years ago, obviously that was like peak GCW interest, I think, from just like the overall, you know, wrestling fan base in general. People like me, you know, if you were to ask me right now, what's your favorite professional wrestling company, I'd probably say GCW. It'd either be GCW or AEW. It depends on the day you ask me, but they're both right there with one another. And, you know, I definitely get a different feeling from GCW than I do from any other company, especially going to live shows. Like, I love going to, like, let me put it this way. Y'all know I love Cody Rhodes, but I've been to plenty of WWE Raws and SmackDowns and pay-per-views and stuff like that for WWE at arenas or at stadiums. And, like, WWE is going to be here for SmackDown on Friday. I'll probably go, but I can take it or leave it. You know what I mean? Like, I saw Cody live do his entrance on Raw a few months ago. You know what I mean? Like, but I will not miss a GCW Center Stage show unless there's, like, unless I absolutely have to. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a totally, I get such a different feeling from these shows than I do from anything else. So, that all said, it was really cool seeing the wrestling world. I mean, everyone was talking about Ali that night, and everyone was, like, clipping his entrance, and everyone was, like, talking about the match and the stuff he said after the match. The match itself was badass. Ali gets the win. Basically, the finishing sequence was Gringo Loco hits, like, an inverted top rope Spanish fly, where Ali was turned the opposite direction than what you normally see. It was more like a backflip face buster than like a backflip rock bottom, if that makes sense. But Gringo hits out on Ali and then pins Ali, and Ali reverses the pin into a Koji clutch and submits. Well, he makes Gringo Loco pass out. He wins by technical submission. Gringo doesn't tap, but the referee checks on him and Gringo's out cold. So Mustafa Ali wins by technical submission, ref stoppage with a Koji clutch. But after the match, even more importantly, he grabs the microphone and he cuts this promo. I'm going to actually, I transcribed it for Twitter. Let me pull this up real quick. I'll tell you exactly. I mean, he talked for a few minutes and really put over Gringo Loco. But the quote that really got me was this. I'm sorry, I'm looking through my, as I clear my throat. You guys can listen to me clear my throat while I look for this quote. Okay. I thought I had it. I know I tweeted the quote, and I can't find it. Sorry it's taking so long, you guys. I refuse to edit this part. Here we go. All right, this is Mustafa Ali talking about Gringo Loco right after their match. He said, quote, "Because of Gringo Loco, I tore it up in the Cruiserweight Classic. Because of Gringo Loco, I became the heart of 205 Live. Because of Gringo Loco, I pinned a WWE champion. Because of Gringo Loco, Mustafa Ali exists." That's pretty powerful. I can't think of any way that you could possibly put over Gringo Loco more than that, outside of Loco, I guess, like, winning the match, which that's kind of secondary once Mustafa puts you over on the microphone like that afterwards, because that's the type of endorsement that, like, these guys, obviously it goes without saying after hearing that quote, but these guys are both Chicago-based wrestlers. They've trained a lot together. And when Ali was getting ready for the Cruiserweight Classic, Gringo Loco was, like, his main training partner and, like, really prepared him. Because Gringo, stylistically, you know, his luchador style, but he's such a hybrid. And he's so, even, to be honest, even just, like, his build for, you know, he's like a thick dude who does luchador moves, but he also has a lot of power. You know what I mean? So he's a real hybrid wrestler. And I've said it 1,000 times. I think he's the smoothest wrestler in the game. I think that's a really high honor. And Gringo himself agrees. Every time I say that to him, he always gets super, like, he gets super happy whenever I bring that up. He's always like, "Man, I can't believe that people are saying that about me." He's like, "That's exactly what I'm going for." You know what I mean? Gringo's such a nice, humble guy. I'm so happy for the success he's having. And so, yeah, huge for Mustafa Ali to get the win over Loco for his return back to the Indies. But also, I mean, for the American indies, technically he had wrestled one match outside of the U.S. since leaving WWE, but this was his return to the American indie scene, and, I mean, beating Gringo Loco is big, but even bigger for Gringo Loco, the endorsement after the match, so really great stuff there for GCW No Compadre. That brings us to GCW 56 Birds. The show happened the next night, also on Triller TV+. This happened out of Columbus, Ohio, and these are the results. We had Violence's Forever, Dominic Green and Kevin Ku defend and retain the GCW Tag Team titles over Bangin' Matthews and the Rejects, the team of John Wayne Murdoch and Reed Bentley. The finish of this one was Bentley and Murdoch hitting the Judd Nelson driver, the assisted Deep South Destroyer, but they hit the move onto August Matthews, but Guarini and Ku take out the Rejects and make the pin themselves. So VIF retains the tag team titles because of the Rejects hitting the Judd Nelson driver. After that, we had El Benito over Jack Cartwheel. Great to see Cartwheel back. He's kind of in and out of GCW so much, but he gave us probably the most wholesome quote we've ever gotten on the spotlight. We've interviewed a lot of wrestlers at this point, myself and Jeremy together, and this one really stood. I wish I remember the exact quote, but he said something that was so wholesome in our interview. It was something like, there's a lot of problems in the world, but we should just do cartwheels. You'll just do cartwheels instead. And I was like, that's beautiful. Like, this guy is like just out there having fun doing cartwheels, wants to see other people do cartwheels. Like, that's fun to him. It takes his mind off of all the BS in the world. I just thought there was something really beautiful and just like, kind of somewhat childish and like a great way about the way he said that to us. Just like, there's a lot of problems, let's just do some cartwheels for a while, you know. Just, I don't know, it got me. But Benito gets the win. Oh, sorry, Bendito. I've been calling him Benito because I was watching a Bad Bunny thing literally right before. That's not an excuse, but I was literally watching a Bad Bunny thing and his name's Benito right before I started recording this. Bendito. I apologize. I've probably been saying that this whole time, I'm just not realizing it. Bendito, over Jack Cartwheel, gets the win, after hitting a power bomb onto one of his own knees for the three count. After that, we had the Rich and the Powerful, the team of Charles Mason and Richard Holiday, with Perro, accompanying them on the outside, over PME, the team of Marino Tenaglia and Philly Collins, the Philly Marino Experience, of course. The finish here was Charles Mason hitting his like pop-up rolling DVD onto Marino, the three count. After the match, Perro comes in and attacks PME, and him along with Holiday and Mason put sacks over the heads of PME. After that, we had Broski Jimmy with Steph DeLander over Manders. I'm so used to seeing SDL and Mance together at this point. So we have Broski Jimmy over Manders. The finish here, SDL threw powder into the face of Manders, which allowed Jimmy to hit a sack rider through a door for the 1-2-3. And at this point, I mean, Broski hugged SDL after the match, and he was celebrating. Like, he was happy he got that win. So you can see the wheels spinning a little bit here where Jimmy might be going a little more from, like, not wanting to be a part of this to embracing what's happening here with the success of being the Broski. And that powder was probably protein powder, you know what I mean? They're probably getting Jimmy yoked up a little bit. So, I like this stuff. Broski Jimmy over Manders for the three count there, with some assist from SDL. After that, we had Los Macisos, the team of Ciclopan, Mato Extremo, along with Rina Yamashita. They defeat the team of Alec Price, Braden Toon, and Jeffrey Johns. The finish here was Macisos hitting a Doomsday Destroyer onto Jeffrey Johns through a door. And then Yamashita came off the top rope with a splash onto Johns for the three count. Or onto John, rather. Jeffrey John, not Johns. I want to say that right. Jeffrey John. After that, we had Myron Reed over Leo Rush. I talked about how great Myron is on the last show. This was really great stuff, and you can tell there's just so much mutual respect between Myron Reed and Leo Rush, because there's a lot of similarities there, like stylistically and stuff, and what they can do, and like their speed and their innovativeness. These guys would actually be an awesome tag team together. I never really thought about that until I just said it, but like they'd be a fun tag team. But I like them a lot as singles guys, and I've seen both tag team enough, and especially Myron. But like that all said, I'm a big fan of both these guys, obviously, and the great in ring work as you'd expect from these two. The finish here was basically Myron reversing a pin into a cradle of his own for the three count. He catches Leo, and everyone seems a little surprised by it, but you know, Leo respects Reed, and you can tell after the match, and Reed respects Leo. You can tell there's a lot of mutual respect there. That's why my wheels are spinning now, too, where it's like, I wouldn't be surprised on like the next GCW show you saw Myron, Reed, and Leo Rush teaming together. I want to see Myron, Reed, and Leo Rush versus the Garbage Daddies, versus Cole Radrick and Alec Price. I think that match would be a banger. After that, we had GCW Extreme title match. Joey Janela defends and retains over Micro Man. Basically, at this point, I think the GCW Extreme title is on the line whenever Janela can find the belt. It's become kind of the joke, but kind of the truth, I think, too. So Janela found the belt, defended the title. He defeats Micro Man by, he just super kicks him right in the face. Just gnarly. 1, 2, 3. Speaking of gnarly, one of my favorite matches, maybe my favorite match of the entire weekend. We had Joshua Bishop over Hoodfoot. This was an unannounced match where I can only imagine these two guys were told backstage, you got 6 minutes, just make the most of it. Beat the hell out of each other. This was a clinic and unprotected chair shots to the head. I just combined the word head and chair into hair. This was a clinic. I'm not editing any of this today. This is a clinic of unprotected chair shots to the head. And the finish was exactly that. Bishop hits Hoodfoot in the head of the chair over and over again. After taking a few to the head himself, of course, because Bishop, you know, Bishop likes it too. And basically what Bishop does, and Hoodfoot's a large guy, this is super impressive just to put Hoodfoot up in the Bishop bomb to begin with. But Bishop picks up Hoodfoot, puts him in the Bishop bomb, and tosses him. And he lands. It was probably like six chairs that were open. They were open chairs, you know, sitting up on their legs. But they were all turned backwards. So the chair backs were all against each other. And Bishop bombs Hoodfoot into the backs of the chairs, so like the edges of the chairs. It was so brutal. But if you know these two guys, you wouldn't expect anything less. Y'all know how I feel about both. I talk about both these guys pretty much every single weekend, and I have for years. Bishop is going to be one of the biggest stars in wrestling eventually. It just depends on which company he winds up in and what push he gets. Hoodfoot, for my money, my own personal opinion, and this is going to be somewhat controversial. Right now, I think Hoodfoot is my favorite quote-unquote deathmatch wrestler in the world. But he can do so much more than that. Like, I've seen him in the UWF Firestyle Rules matches at Paradigm. I've seen him in, you know, at Sup Graps, you know, in tag teams with, you know, the Lost Boys and stuff. He can do it all. But right now, for my money, Hoodfoot's the best deathmatch wrestler in the world. As you know, he holds claim to that too. Right now, how many days has it been? I gotta look to see. He's been the ICW American Deathmatch World Champion for 289 days now. Don't know the last time this was updated. This is a cage match, so I think it's all up to date. But I mean, getting close to a year straight of holding that ICW American Deathmatch World title. So right there is enough claim, in my opinion. But I want to see Hoodfoot more in GCW as well, for sure. Same with Josh. But, you know, Josh also, we get to see him a lot in MLW as a part of WTF. Main event of the show, we had Jonathan Gresham defeat Cole Radrick. This was a great technical match. I love this for Ratty Daddy. Like, I wish Cole would have won because I have a lot of bias there. I'm obviously a big Cole Radrick fan. And I love Jonathan Gresham too. Y'all can go back and listen. Years ago, when right here on the Weekender, we used to cover Ring of Honor every week. And back before AEW even existed, I was talking every week when Jonathan Gresham was, this was even before they brought back the Pure Championship. But even then, I was like, Jonathan Gresham should be the ROH World Champion. And I was saying that week after week after week after week. I thought they really should have built all of Ring of Honor around Jonathan Gresham way before they actually did. So I'm a big fan of both of these guys. I've gotten to see Gresham live at Terminus and at Battle Slam. He's one of the owners of Terminus along with Baron Black. So I've been to his own shows plenty of times. He's Atlanta-based, Gresham. So obviously big fan of both of these guys. But I have a lot of bias on Cole because like I really want to see Cole kind of break through this kind of ceiling he's at right now. That's not a bad thing, by the way. Like, Cole's absolutely killing it. He's one of the most booked wrestlers in the world, which, I mean, there's a lot to be said about that, obviously. But I think Cole needs to get back on that path of, like, you know, he was the Extreme champion. But I want to see Cole go after, like, the world title. Maybe go after the Extreme title again. Maybe go after Yamashita and the Ultra Violent Championship. I don't know. But team up with Al Christ more. Go after the tag team titles with the Garbage Daddies, you know? But that all said, Gresham gets the win here. Really great technical match. They went like 18 minutes long. The finish here was a rear naked choke. Gresham just locks in this a deep rear naked choke. Cole Radrick passes out. The referee checks on him. Technical submission. Jonathan Gresham gets the win in the main event of GCW 56 Birds. I forgot to mention during the show, Effie and Mance Warner, they did a contract signing. I totally missed this on my notes until I just realized. But Effie and Mance Warner did a contract signing where eventually Mance attacks Effie with a screwdriver and he's bleeding all over the place. And he basically signs, like, they sign their contract in blood. So the Effie and Mance Warner feud is heating up to a whole new level here. But, you know, after their history as, you know, a team and all being part of, like, the SGC and SG Bussy, like, all together, and the way that Mance screwed Effie out of the win in the Rumble the other week, and, I mean, this is getting really personal. And I really like the feud. This is the type of like indie feud that I really enjoy because they're both going to be in GCW consistently. So like you can see a real feud play out. You don't really have to worry about either of them like not being around for this. So, like you can do a real feud with these two, which I really, really like. So wanted to mention that as well because obviously a huge feud happening in GCW with Effie and Mance Warner. But once again, that is GCW 56 Birds. You can watch all the GCW events over on Triller TV Plus. Moving on, got results for Glory Pro Ascend. This is episode number 19. It's available for free on the Glory Pro YouTube channel. You can just search Glory Pro on YouTube. All of the episodes are right there, including episode 19. These are the results. The first match was Bangin' Matthews over the New Guys, team of Jake Bosch and Scott Stanley. The finish of this one was Bangin' Matthews going up to the top, the same top rope together, and hitting a double team top rope double stomp onto the head and neck. And then they did their double team ride the bus, which is like, it's like a double team rolling spear for the three count. After that, we had Chudy Lynn over Maggie Lee. The finish here was Chudy hitting a running knee to the head for the three count. And then in the main event of the show, we had the United Glory Tag Team Titles on the line in a TLC match. This was a fantastic main event TLC match. I really, really enjoyed this. Obviously, I recommend checking out everything that I'm talking about on these shows. That's why I tell y'all where you can watch the shows. But I really recommend going out of your way to watch this main event, especially because it's free. Like, go on YouTube, type Glory Pro in and watch this. This is a great TLC match for a main event, in my opinion. We had Ethan Price and Moses become the new champions. They defeat Mike Outlaw and Raheem De La Suede and PME in a TLC match. The finish here was both Ethan Price and Moses on... Well, they basically Moses and Raheem De La Suede are fighting on these two ladders. And Ethan Price comes from behind and hits De La Suede with a chair. And then Price and Moses both together... They climb ladders together and they grab the titles together and they are the new United Glory Tag Team Champions. They win these titles after a real journey with one another. They put that over on commentary as well. But the two of these guys went to war with one another and out of like mutual respect, you know, became this team and now they are the Glory Pro Tag Team Champions. So once again, great main event. I highly recommend checking it out. And check out all the Glory Pro stuff. I'm going to actually talk a little bit more about Dan the Dad in a minute because of Freelance. But Huge shout out to Dan, the dad, and the team at Glory Pro for this entire Ascend series and what they're doing with this company right now. Really enjoy it. All right, moving on. We have results for TWE. This is TWE Barbed Wire Baptism. This is available on independentwrestling.tv. You can use code FIGHTTALK. I am endorsed by IWTV. If you want to use code FIGHTTALK over on independentwrestling.tv or IWTV.live, use that code. It just gives them a heads up that I'm sending y'all their way. So I appreciate when you use that code. And for $9.99 a month, you get a ton of value over there at IWTV, including this show, TWE Barbed Wire Baptism. This show took place out of Red Bank, Tennessee, which is basically the Chattanooga, Tennessee area. And this show took place on the 13th, on Saturday night. These are the results. We have KOBK, the team of Brett Eisen, Hardaway Heater, and Sean Campbell, over Sigrid, Totally Shook, the tag team of Finesse and Jameson Shook. The finish of this one was Brett Eisen. Well, let me explain a little bit better. We had Shook covering Heater, trying to get the win. But while he's trying to make the cover, Brett Eisen comes from behind and hits a hidden blade and then locks in a dragon sleeper. And the dragon sleeper forces Jameson Shook to tap out. There's layers to this, though, because as we'll talk about in a little bit, Darian Bengston, the TWE champion who defends the title against Manhorn a little later in the show, Eisen wants a shot at him and he wants a shot at that championship. Eisen was a longtime champion of TWE. And he uses the Dragon Sleeper, which Bengston is known to use. So, you know, there's storytelling layers there. After that, we had Casey Owens over Negative Lee. And finishing this one, I wrote down an arm trap overhead suplex. It's the best way I could describe it. Basically like a standing arm triangle choke, but then like thrown over his head like a suplex for the three count. We used to see Taz do those type of moves, I think he's called an arm trap suplex also. After that, we had Anakin Murphy over Rodney Rockchild. Anakin gets the win after hitting a top rope double stomp to the back of the head for the three count. Up next, we had Tank over Damon Stryker. Tank gets the win with a spinning toe hold, and Stryker verbally taps out. Up next, we had Derek Neal versus Aaron Wade. This match went to a no contest when the two of them could not be separated. The referee couldn't keep control of the match. And the entire TWE locker room comes out to separate the two. After that, we had the TWE title on the line. Darian Bengston defends and retains over Cody Manhorn. The finish of this one was Darian locking in the Dragon Sleeper and forcing Manhorn to tap out. Manhorn does not tap. I gotta give Cody so much credit. Like, I knew him really only as Shiny Shoes, the referee, for a long time, but I've seen him over the years really getting better and better and better and going from, like, essentially kind of like a comedy type. I remember he was, like, Coach Cody and then, like, all the Squatting Dragon stuff and all that, but, like, he's really gotten a lot better. I gotta give him a lot of credit for where he's at right now. So did great work as referee, doing great work as a wrestler, super over, especially in TWE. So great stuff. I got to give a massive shout out to Cody Manhorn. And Darian retains the title. And I think they've announced it, but I believe it's going to be Brett Eisen and Darian for the title soon. I think that's been officially announced on Twitter by the time I've recorded this. After that, we had the Gig City title tournament final match. Josh Locke defeats Big Dave. And Josh Locke gets the win here it was like a sequence. I can't remember the sequence, but it went into a curb stomp. The finish was a curb stomp. Josh Locke gets a big win in this tournament final over Big Dave. Pretty big pop for them as well in the TWE arena. And then the main event of the show, we had the barbed wire match where Jaden Newman defeated Shug D. This was great stuff. Great storytelling. For those of you who don't know, behind the scenes, Jaden Newman, he runs TWE just like straight up. Like, he's like the main guy behind pretty much what you see there. And that building has become really important for the entire Southeast scene for all the independent promotions. So Jade Newman, I've talked about him a ton on this show. We've interviewed him before and stuff on the Spotlight. And I knew Jaden back before. I mean, I'll never forget it. I was at the SCI, the Senior Invitational Tournament. This was probably like 5 or 6 years ago or something. And Jaden was there as a fan. He was already wrestling, but he was there as a fan. I recognized him from Southern Underground Pro. And it was in his high school gym that he used to go to, that he had graduated from. And his biggest goal at that time was just to get into the Scenic City Invitational. Years later, you know, he's been in the tournament multiple times. He's won the thing by now. And now he's like really, I think he's really on that cusp of really breaking out. I love what he's doing right now. So big win for Jaden Newman over Suge D in the main event here in a barbed wire match. The finish was basically a camel clutch with the barbed wire across Suge D's forehead. And he forces Suge D to tap out. So great stuff once again from TWE. After that, we got more results. We got Freelance Rhapsody. This show took place also on independentwrestling.tv. Use code FIGHTTALK. This show took place out of Chicago, Illinois. And this happened on the 13th, also on Saturday night. We had a six-way scramble open the show where Robbie Reeves defeats Angel Escalera, Gunnar Brave, Saban Gage, Regan Ladle, and Trevor Outlaw. The finish of this one, the finish of this one was a shell shock by Robbie Reeves for the three count. After that, we had Isaias Velasquez over Chico Suave. Velasquez gets the win. When the ref gets distracted, he just kicks Suave right in the dick. So dick kick, pin, 1-2-3 for Velasquez. What, probably the top heel. Just hop. Well, I shouldn't have. Craig Mitchell's way up there, too. But Isaias Velasquez, massive heel in Freelance, doing really great heel work. After that, we had Cota Hernandez over Wes Barkley. The finish here was Cota hitting a drill bit, which is like, it's basically like a death rider without the double underhooks for the three count. I love that finisher. And I'm a big fan of Maserati Wes as well. After that, we had Dan the Dad over Alfonso Gonzalez. Dan the Dad gets the win after giving him a spanking with his belt and then hitting the baby on board, which is his running backpack stunner for the three count. This is where I was getting at, kind of waiting on speaking a little more on Dan the Dad. He is massively over in Freelance. And he was really over when he popped up in GCW. He's always over in Glory Pro. I'm really, really, really happy to see where things are at for Dan the Dad. He's a guy who I watched years ago go from, you know, trying to find himself as the millennial Danny Adams, no new friends with Kevin Lee Davidson. Honestly, you can do your research, but behind the scenes, there was a mess with Glory Pro management that he basically needed to step up and fix, and he did. I mean, Dan the Dad, Danny Adams, whatever you want to call him, the dude, I have so much respect for him, and I love seeing. He's getting huge reactions right now. He's popped up on AEW TV a little bit. They didn't call him Dan the Dad, though. And I know that Dan himself isn't sure why that is. But I know that it was a big thing for him. He wanted to do more comedy wrestling. This is years ago when I interviewed him the first time. He told me, I really look up to guys like Orange Cassidy. I want to try more comedy. And he formed the Dan the Dad gimmick. And it's taken a while to catch the steam that it's finally getting right now. But I think it's really, really, really paying off. So I'm really happy to see the success of Dan the Dad. And that, that bled into the next match too. Because we had Craig Mitchell over Matt Nix. The finish of this one was James Russo pushing Nix off the top rope. Which allowed Craig Mitchell to hit the Trapper Keeper for the three count. Massive heel heat on Craig. I'm a huge Craig Mitchell fan. I've talked about him a ton too. He's another guy where I met him because he knocked a beer out of my hand at a show years ago. He felt bad about it and bought me a beer and a t-shirt and gave me one of his t-shirts. And then I wound up interviewing the guy and we wound up becoming friends. So, and Craig Mitchell also deserves a lot of credit for the success of Ali. People don't know that. I've talked about it before, but Ali, a lot of his videos he used to do for WWE where he was like out in the streets, like being like a vigilante. Craig Mitchell was the one behind the camera shooting a lot of those before the WWE started producing them themselves. But Craig Mitchell gets the win over Matt Nix with a Trapper Keeper. He whips Matt in the back with a belt afterwards, which prompts Dan the Dad to come out and save Nyx, and Dan gets a humongous babyface reaction for the save. After that, we had a non-title tag team match where GPA and Lainey Luck defeated members only, the team of Malcolm Cambridge and Calvin G. Lewis. The finish of this one was GPA hitting a stunner and then Lainey diving off the second rope with her Utacutter, her second rope, basically second rope cutter for the three count. And the main event of the show, we had the Freelance World title on the line. Storm Grayson defends and retains over Calvin Tankman. The finish here was Grayson running Tankman headfirst. Like, Tankman's got a hold on Grayson. Grayson drops down. Tankman goes headfirst into an exposed turnbuckle, like the metal, no turnbuckle pad there. Headfirst into the metal, lands, you know, head down in the ropes, kind of 619 setup. And that's always the setup for Storm Grayson's knee trigger, which y'all are all familiar, I'm sure, with Kenny Omega's V trigger, the way he does it into the ropes. That's Storm Grayson's finisher. So basically, exposed turnbuckle to the head, knee trigger, and then Grayson pulls down his knee pad and hits another knee trigger for good measure, pins Tankman, 1-2-3, and still Freelance World Champion Storm Grayson. Moving on, got some spoilers. So spoiler alert. I'm going to read out TNA spoilers. I'm going to timestamp this one for 51 minutes. If you want to remain spoiler free, I recommend fast forwarding until you see the timestamp. The timestamps are in the description of the audio you're listening to right now on Fightful Select. All right, spoiler alert, 3, 2, 1. These are TNA spoilers for TNA Impact and for TNA Explosion. These are courtesy of Fightful's Joel Pearl, who was there live on location, and these were filmed yesterday on January 24th. For Explosion, we've got Rhino over Shira and Joe Hendry over Rich Swann. Then for Impact, we've got Jake Something over Kushida, Vikingo, Trey Miguel, Laredo Kid, Speedball Mike Bailey. It says Jake Something pins Laredo Kid. We had a promo from Nick Nemeth. Nick says he talks about his accomplishments in the WWE, says he is emotional, nervous, and excited, says he wants to become TNA World Champion and will celebrate with the fans when he does, and it will be the best night in his career, but he says he wants to earn it first. Steve Maclin interrupts and compares his road to Nick Nemeth's. Maclin says Nemeth is a phony and says he has 20 years to tell his story, and now it's Macklin's time. And he says the fans will never ask what happened to Nemeth. They'll ask what happened to Dolph Ziggler. And then Ziggler hits a zigzag onto Maclin to end the segment. We had Xia Brookside over Tasha Steeles. We had the Grizzled Young Vets over Eric Young and Frankie Kazarian. It says after the match, Kazarian turns on Eric Young, and Kazarian accidentally punched EY during the match, leading to the loss. So it seems like he accidentally punched Eric Young, but then after the match actually turns on him. We have a Jay Vidal promo, says they broke out in Vegas and issues an open challenge. PCO defeats Jay right after that. Next match was Chris Bay with Ace Austin on the outside over Kevin Knight. It says post-match, the Grizzled Young Vets lay out ABC. I saw a picture that Joel took of them holding up the titles as well. We had Dirty Dango and Oleg Prudas, the former Vladimir Kozlov, over Dante King and Damian Drake. It says Prudas destroyed both guys while Dango was on his phone and only tagged in for the finish. We had the TNA World Title Knockouts match, where Jordan Grace defeats Trinity. It says post-match, Giselle Shaw and the Chantras take out Jordan Grace and Trinity. We have Nick Nemeth over Zachary Wentz with Trey Miguel on the outside. Post-match, Steve Maclin beats down Nemeth. Nemeth hits another zigzag on Maclin. We had MK Ultra, the team of Masha Slamovic and Killer Kelly, over Jody Threat and Danny Luna. Post-match, MK Ultra attack Luna and Threat again. We had Josh Alexander over Will Ospreay. That's a big result. Huge win for Josh Alexander. Cannot wait to see that match. It says post-match, Scott D'Amore cuts a heartfelt promo thanking both men. We had Kazuchika Okada and the Motor City Machine Guns, the team of Al Shelley and Chris Sabin, over The System, the team of Moose, Brian Myers, and Eddie Edwards, who had Alicia Edwards in their corner. It says Al Shelley pinned Brian Myers, and after the match, Motor City Machine Guns thanked the crowd with a promo, and the babyface locker room clear out, and they celebrate in after the match with Motor City Machine Guns. So a lot of good stuff coming up for TNA Wrestling. Once again, if you want my full thoughts on kind of like the rebirth of TNA and TNA Hard to Kill, results and all my thoughts on that, check out the post show over on the Fightful YouTube channel. All right, moving on. We have results for NXT Level Up. This was NXT Level Up episode 100. And I always say I watched it on Hulu, so that's where you can watch it as well, I guess. So episode 100 for NXT Level Up. And I'll say it right off the bat. I say it 1,000 times. This show is valuable for the company. I actually really enjoy it every week. I'm really liking seeing the progression of these new superstars. A lot of these people who, some of them had no indie career whatsoever, that are complete performance center, projects. And, and some of them do have indie backgrounds, and some of them don't. And, but they're getting reps in front of real people, in front of real fans, and a lot of it's working. I saw... Was it, I think Oba Femi just won the North American title, I believe. And we were covering him not long ago on Level Up. I'm pretty sure he did, didn't he? I'm going to look that up right now while I'm saying this. Yes, Oba Femi, he did. He won the North American Championship recently. So there you go. And he was a guy who started completely from scratch, really, in the WWE system with Level Up. So this show is valuable. I loved covering 205 Live too, for what it's worth. I thought there was a lot of value in that show also that went unappreciated by fans and by the company. But, I just want to say this for episode 100, I really enjoy what Level Up is doing. And I think the system actually is working. Back in the day, the original NXT, the original Black and Gold NXT did not work in the way that they wanted the quote unquote developmental system to work. At first, that was the vision. They were just sprinkling in guys like El Generico and Kevin Steen and Finn Balor and stuff like that. But it became a super indie where, they didn't actually wind up producing any real talent that was their own homegrown produced talent. I'd say, maybe Baron Corbin is, the best example of that, maybe, of, someone who's lasted. But that's, one guy out of hundreds that came through that performance center at that time. You know what I mean? So I think this route with Level Up actually is kind of doing what the original NXT was meant to do, and then you eventually wind up in the NXT show on Tuesdays, like Oba Femi, for instance, and there you go. You might have a new superstar on your hands. That said, these are results for episode 100 of NXT Level Up. We had Joe Coffey over Tavian Heights. Finish here was Coffey hitting all the best for the bells for the 1-2-3. After that, we had Jada Parker over Amari Miller. The finish here was, it was like a belly-to-back, kind of spun out into a rock bottom almost, but it's basically like a belly-to-back variation by Jada Parker to get the win over Amari Miller via pinfall. And then the main event of the show, we had Joe Gacy over Javier Bernal. Gacy gets the win with his handspring lariat for the 1-2-3. Perfect example right here. Joe Gacy, someone who had an indie career, who had a CZW run, who was ready pretty much when they got signed for whatever they needed him to do, character-wise or in-ring. Javier Bernal is more of just a WWE system guy, and I think that this works both for both. You know what I mean? So, shout out to NXT Level Up. I think if you're not watching the show, you're kind of missing out. I know it's not for everyone, but if you go in with the right expectations and you're down to watch, there's usually only a half hour or so of actual wrestling on the show. The rest of it is Raw or SmackDown highlights. So, give it a shot if you haven't already. I really enjoy it. Moving on, we have results for NWA Power. This show is available for free on the National Wrestling Alliance YouTube channel. And this is from January, this aired on January 9th. We had NWA World Women's Tag Team titles on the line. Pretty Empowered, the team of Ella Envy and Kylie Page, defend and retain over Misa Kate and Ruthie J. The finish here was the ref was distracted. Kenzie Page comes into the ring, hits a Kenzie cutter, and Kylie Page gets the pin for their team. After that, we had Kenzie Page defending the NWA World Women's Championship over Samantha Starr. The finish here was Kenzie faking an injury in the corner. The referee's checking on her. Samantha gets near her, and Kenzie just pops up, hits a Kenzie cutter, 1-2-3, to retain her championship. After the match, Samantha Starr hits a DDT onto Kenzie. We get a promo from Tom Latimer, basically just talking about how he's going after the NWA World Heavyweight Championship. We had Mike Knox and Trevor Murdoch over the Country Gentlemen, the team of AJ Kazana and KC Kazana. The finish here was the high-low by Murdoch and Knox for the three count. After that, we had a promo by the Southern Six. The big takeaway here was them making a play on words by saying that whatever team gets a shot at the Southern Six or whoever gets a shot at Thrillbilly Silas, they need to relish their opportunity, and they pull out a packet of relish. Very literal. And the main event of the show, we had the NWA World Heavyweight Championship on the line. EC3 defends and retains over Jax Dane. The finish of this one was EC3 hitting 3 1-percenters in a row and then pinning Dane 1-2-3 to retain his title. I will say NWA, pretty decent show this week. Pretty decent show for NWA this week. You had some actual matches, some screwy finishes, which is to be expected. But honestly, I'm a big fan of Kenzie Page. I like Pretty Empowered in general as a group, but I'm a big fan of Kenzie. So I'm glad to see all the success that she's having. Moving on, got spoilers for Ring of Honor. These were taped on January 13th. If you do not want spoilers, then I would recommend just turning the show off now. Thank you for listening. Please hit the like button here on Fightful Select before you leave. But that said, these are going to be spoilers for Ring of Honor's TV tapings from January 13th. They are courtesy of PW Insider. Spoiler alert, these are the results. Yeah, Billy Starks, Lady Frost, and Kira Hogan, and Queen Aminata over Taya Valkyrie, Robin Renegade, Layla Hirsch, and Rachel Ellring. We had Claudio Castagnoli over Brian Keith. I bet that was an absolute banger of a singles match. And the women's match before this, I'm sure, was great, too. I love seeing Queen Aminata. There's a lot of reports recently that she's been signed by AEW/Ring of Honor. I hope that's the case. You know, I'm a big fan of hers. I talked about her a lot last week, but, you know, I've seen her live multiple times at Battle Slam events here in Atlanta. She's got a lot of talent. All the women I just mentioned do. I've actually called a Renegade Twins match before here in Atlanta for CDW. Shout out Championship District Wrestling. But yeah, so right there off the bat, this is already a show I want to see with all the women involved in the first match. And then Claudio Castagnoli versus Brian Keith, I'm sure, was an absolute banger. We have Nala Rose over Erica Lee and the Undisputed Kingdom over the Iron Savages. So Nala Rose, I'd imagine, probably gets a pretty good squash there. And then the Undisputed Kingdom over Iron Savages. I mean, that's to be expected as far as, you know, the Undisputed Kingdom and the push that they're getting, of course, right now in AEW and Ring of Honor. But I like seeing the Iron Savages in the mix, and I'm hoping that our boy Jack Jameson was out there as well with the Iron Savages. So, looks like another solid episode of Ring of Honor coming up, and those are the results for that. So, that's that. That'll do it for this episode of the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. I've been Steven Jensen. Please follow me on X at @FightTalk_FIGHTTALK_. Please hit the like button here on FightfulSelect.com. Please watch the Spotlight every Thursday morning, 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Myself and Jeremy Lambert talk the world of wrestling. And then we've also got interviews for y'all with other, you know, with wrestlers, with promoters, other fans, YouTubers, and all that kind of stuff, content creators. So check that out. That'll be this Thursday, 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time on the main YouTube channel for Fightful. And that's that. I've been Steven Jensen. Until next weekend, enjoy some professional wrestling.